Okay, so welcome everybody. Theoretically, it's recording now, and this is my second webinar that I'm doing today. This one is in English. About an hour and a half ago, if you want to practice your French, you could go back in time and listen to that one. And although it's a kind of mixture of a bit of planning with a bit of spontaneity, or if you prefer, a bit of spontaneity with a bit of planning. I don't think there's any point doing these things live unless you want interaction. So there is time for interaction. But having said that, otherwise I could just give you the notes and you could read them at home. So there will be time for interaction. I'm expecting people to interact if and when people come along to these things. I'm right at the beginning, so not getting too many attendants. My French one was just me, which was really good company. But anyway, now I've just learned the screen sharing option. So I'm going to share my screen and show you what we're going to do for the next hour or so. I'm pretty strict on the hour timing, so don't worry if you're getting tight. So I'm going to share the screen. And theoretically, I'm going to show you this. So you should be able to see that. And this is what the plan is for the next few tens of minutes, up to an hour, not more. A week on planet Earth is where I tell you what I've been up to, if there's anything interesting in that. Then I throw in a Paris metaphor. I'm writing a book which is based on using Paris and aspects of Paris as a metaphor for seeing life in a new way, maybe a fresh way, a clearer way. Now, I don't say that Paris is the best place to live. It happens to be where I live, or I live near there. And my message is generally, you can see where you live as a metaphor for life, but I happen to be in Paris. So I'll share something with that. I didn't have a metaphor at the beginning of this, so I'm going to have to think of one, but I've got a few. Number three is thought provokers. That's anything that's come to my mind during the week that I thought might be interesting. Could be an article, could be something, an incident that happened. Number four is a creative selection. This is where I show you two or three of the things I've actually created this week as a creative person. My aim is really to inspire people, but not just by telling them to be creative. I want to inspire them through being creative in an area which has nothing to do with telling someone else to be creative. For example, painting or taking a picture or writing. I want to do that. And then hopefully inspire people to be creative in their own right. So it's the good old idea about showing rather than telling. Someone tells you to do something, you say, yeah, but you don't do that. But if you show them something you've done and you don't tell them to do it, they themselves will say, well, if he did that, and it's not that amazing, is it? I could do that as well. Or whatever it is that they want to, however they want to create, express themselves creatively. Quirks and curiosities is, as it sounds, anything weird that has come to my mind, which could be less formal and a bit weirder than the thought provokers. Questions and answers is a place where we can discuss anything that has come to your mind. Number seven, it's question marks because there has to be space for improvisation and the unexpected, because that's what life is like. At the end of any of these sections, I'll stop and ask if any of the participants have any comments to make. A week on planet Earth, let's go. So back to me. Here I am. So what has happened in this week? Let me see. Well, a couple of weeks ago, something has happened this week, which is an echo of something that happened 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I thought for the space of about 10 days that I was going to have a cabinet to myself, a consulting cabinet in a medical center, and I'd have my plaque on the wall. We even discuss it. We were ready to sign the agreement. So I was excited for the space of about 5 days, and then bam, it fell through. It fell through for now. But I felt okay about it because I've come to this point in my life, and there's a story that goes with this. It's the story. I don't know if you've seen the first video I did. It's a classic story of some farmer somewhere in some Asian country, probably Asian to make it sound more exotic. And he had some beautiful horses, and at some point there was a storm or something, and the fence got broken down, and all of his beautiful horses ran away. And his neighbor came around and said, well, that's a real bummer, you losing all those beautiful horses. And he said, maybe. And the next day, or the next week, or whatever, lo and behold, his horses came back, bringing with them a whole bunch more wild horses, beautiful as the ones he had. So he had twice as many wonderful horses. And his neighbor comes along and says, "Wow, you are so lucky. You started off with 5 beautiful horses, now you have 10, and you didn't even pay for them." And the guy, the farmer, says, "Maybe." And then the next week, his son starts to try and break in some of the horses. And while he's doing this, he has an accident and he breaks his leg. And his neighbor, this good old neighbor, the story wouldn't be much without the neighbor, would it? The neighbor comes along and says, "Oh, that is such bad luck. Oh my God, look at him. He's in a cast, he can't even walk. Maybe he'll never walk again." And so the farmer says, "Maybe it's bad luck, maybe." And then the next week, the army comes along to draft all able-bodied men. And of course, his son can't go to war and probably get killed because he can't walk. And the neighbor comes along and says, "Wow, you are so lucky that your son had that accident." And of course, the farmer says, "Maybe." So I've started looking on life like this, in a way. Not necessarily being Mr. Positive all the time, but not being Mr. Negative and always expecting the unexpected, as it were. And very often you can find something positive in almost everything that happens. So I thought I was getting this cabinet, then I didn't, but I was okay about it because I kind of had this idea in my mind that, well, if I can't do that, maybe I'd have had annoying clients. Maybe it would have been too much to pay. Maybe I'd have felt trapped. If I'd have got it, I'd have looked on it positively. But if I didn't get it, I'll look on that positively anyway as well. You know, if I'm not going to do that, well, I'm just going to do something else. Last week, to cut the long story short, I went abroad to see a lady friend. It went well for about 2 or 3 days, and then, bam, it didn't go well anymore. And I decided to leave. I didn't leave the country. I just left her town, and I went to the city where the airport is because my flight wasn't for a few days. And I stayed in a hostel, and I had the time. So I was disappointed about the relationship side of things, but I had the time to really discover this city, and it was beautiful. I discovered parts of this city which were just amazing, medieval, winding streets, lovely old houses. And I met this guy who had great stories to tell, who was staying in the hostel. And we had great chats. Now he's become a contact, friend contact. And that was like saying, "Well, yeah, you broke up. That's terrible." And I could have said, "Maybe." And then I met this, then I had this experience. And then I decided to try again with my friend, and it went okay. And I went back and I spent the last 2 or 3 days with her, and it was okay. So you never know what's going to happen. So that's I'll leave that as my week. That's the stories of the week. And let me just show you where we are in this process. Diane has just come on. So that was a week on planet Earth. And I will throw it open to anyone to see if you have any comments. Right. So, I'll make everybody active just in case. Diane, hello. Let's see if I can hear Diane. Diane is a kind of mystery grey rectangle at the moment. It says Diane Burgess, but I can't see anyone there. Diane. All right. Anyway, so George, what do you think of that? Can you top that? Was your
one? Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, every week's a week for me, but that was very interesting. Yeah, just nice story. So,
well, the funny thing is the same happened 2 weeks in a row. The thing with the cabinet falling through, but feeling okay about it, and the relationship falling through and feeling okay about it. You know, irrespective of what happened after, I managed to look on it reasonably positively.
You learned something from it, right?
You
end up learning something from it.
So. I mean, I wasn't that happy when it fell through. Both things fell through, you know, to be honest. But with a little bit of, you know, standing back a little bit and stories like the one I told, it does help.
Yeah. Interesting.
Okay. Let me just say hello to Diane, seeing as we have a Diane.
Hello, Seb. How are you doing?
Hello, Diane. How are you doing? I'm fine. We have George. We have Diane. Any way of seeing you, Diane, or?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. If you don't want to be seen or it's not possible, then that's fine. So I've just been introducing this video. Are you in the bath or something? Sounds like you're in the bath. No?
No, I'm in the dollar store.
Okay. All right. Okay. So I was just saying, can you see me, Diane?
No, I just see a phone. I'm afraid to turn it off or I lose you.
Okay. All right. Well, I am.
It's just as if it's dialing.
So it's better if you can see, because I will be showing you.
I'll try that.
All right. Give you a second just to see if anything happens. All right, let me go back to, well, Diane, you just tell me if you end up seeing anything. Right, let me go back to sharing the screen, show you where we are in this saga. So this is number two, a Paris metaphor. I was thinking about this. I sometimes invite people to Paris, and we do weekends on various themes, and I've just started these weekends where we spend a couple of days, well, talking about life and stuff, you know, it's pretty fun. And I'm developing these metaphors because I'm writing this book on Paris metaphors. And I've got this metaphor which I really like. So I take the people out of this little studio, which is quite near to the Eiffel Tower, my muse, and we get on a metro line. And the metro line we get on is line 6. I don't know if you know the Paris metro. Line 6 goes like this, around the bottom of Paris in a sort of smiley loop. So we get on line 6. We go along it for a little while. There might be a little exercise or something. And then we get off. And then we take a line which is at the same station called line 2. And line 2 goes around the top of Paris. Okay. So we got on here at the bottom. We went to the end of this line. And then we changed lines and we got another line which goes along the top. And if you do know Paris, or if you don't, and you come to Paris, take these two lines. It's fantastic because they're actually over ground. Because although my son, who is 8, loves the underground and would complain, I love these lines because you can see Paris from up above. You're going along the middle of the boulevard. It's really good. So anyway, line 2. We're going along a line 2. We'll do an exercise or two, a few observations. We might even get off. And then we get to the end of line. How's my finger going? The end of line 2. And we change again, and we get on another line. Remember, these are people who don't necessarily know Paris. So basically, they've got on a train, got off, changed trains, got off this train and changed again. And we go along. Little do they know, they're back on line 6, and they end up exactly where they started. So the metaphor is, a lot of people spend a lot of their life, as I understand it, and I'm kind of one of them, looking for stuff, thinking that there's stuff out there, be it online. You know, we have adventures on line 2, line 6, and so on. We've seen things, we've seen interesting things, we've had reflective exercises, but we actually end up where we started. And I left Britain to kind of do that on a bigger scale. I was going to go around the world, and I did sort of visit a few countries, but in the end, although I ended up in Paris, which isn't my hometown, I found that traveling all over the place to different cities, like the one I just mentioned last week, wonderful as they are, sometimes more wonderful than bits of Paris, I still feel that I'm kind of at home. And the sort of clanging metaphor, here it comes, is you can spend a lot of time traveling around, looking to meet new people, looking for new places, new experiences, new jobs, new relationships, a new car, new house, etc., etc. Whereas, in fact, what I've found is you don't actually find anything which changes your life radically. And all of this searching, if you're lucky, brings you back to yourself and you realize that. I know it's a cliche, but it was inside you all the time. And I cringe when I hear people telling me this, but I actually believe that it's true now. And I'm very little interested in material things. Okay, I'm sitting in a reasonably nice apartment with a reasonably nice computer. So it's a little bit, you know, incongruent what I'm saying. But I would like to believe that I don't need any of this. Because if you get to feeling reasonably okay with who you are, I don't think it really matters what's going on around you. So that's my little metaphor for Paris with the metro, which I'm kind of, I quite like that. I've got to find 80 of these things. I'm planning on 80 metaphors, and that's one of them. So there's a challenge. Right. So anyone got any comments on that? Any metaphors? Do you think that happiness is out there somewhere, or are you pretty happy with where you are? Any comments on that? I'll unmute you. Anyone want to say anything on that? Dan, you still with us? Diane is not necessarily with us. George?
Yeah, I'm here.
Where do you live, George?
Where do I live? I live in Overland Park, Kansas. So I'm in the middle of the United States.
Okay. So what's your hometown like? Do you see it as somewhere where you've found a place where you feel good? Or do you feel the need to travel? Do you feel the need to have bigger cars, better friends? What's your take on that?
Yeah. I don't know about, I wouldn't say better friends. I would say, and as far as having cars and toys, I've had all those. And yeah, I mean, they're nice. Don't get me wrong. It's nice to have, I had multiple homes in multiple states in the United States. So, but I traveled a lot with business. And so I just shouldn't be in one city. Pretty much stayed in this area my whole life, but have traveled all over the U.S. So, you know, it's definitely home is where the heart is. And I think the metaphor is right. It is within you, back to you. It all comes back to you and being happy where you are, being happy, whatever your circumstances are. But, you know, there's definitely an environmental issue when you strip away everything. Mm-hmm. If you lost everything, you know, if you lost everything tomorrow, how would your life be? And it's, you know, depending on what your environment is, what your situation is, you know, recreating things are tough sometimes.
So do you communicate any sort of message about that to people you know? Is that part of what you want to share with others? Or you're on a different thing?
No, absolutely. No, I actually work with kids and adults with learning difficulties now. So we actually do brain training. We do a physio-neurotherapy program that basically kind of like stroke victims work, but rewiring the brain to learn. And so about 5 years ago, because I'm dyslexic, I found out at about 28 years ago that I was dyslexic and struggle with that all of being happy with yourself and, you know, comparing yourself to others. It wasn't comparing myself to others financially. It was more comparing myself intellectually to others. And it didn't matter how much money I made. It was never feeling as smart as someone else, even though I did really well in the business world and owned a lot of companies. And anyway, that's another long story. So,
yeah. Well, education in school is one of my pet hates. I could go on about that forever. Diane, I can see something. I can see, is it a leg, Diane?
Leg looks like a leg and a steering wheel.
Okay. Although she's not coming through, hang on. I put her on active. I've got two down. I've got one with her name and one with her knee. How about that? Okay, right, so she's not coming through. So I'm going to move on, right. I'll mute you all again. Right, and the next in this little chat is thought provokers. So it's number three, thought provokers. And what I wanted to talk about was something that I've been doing in a group that I'm in. So we can take it from a different angle if you like, but if you've already seen this, but it was the exercise that we had to do today was about saying three things that we've learned from this, the quest that we're doing. So for those of you who aren't in this group, there's a 30-day quest and it's to help us become better public speakers. And we have various exercises. And one of the exercises for today was to mention three things that we discovered about ourselves, or the realizations that we had. And I'm going to try and find what I said and go over this. So the things that I realized that I had learned through this process where you do have to expose yourself. For example, you're supposed to give live talks on Facebook, and you wouldn't believe until you've tried it how scary that can be, especially if you're not used to it, just pressing that live button. I mean, I've been in webinar calls like this one, where I've paid a lot of money to be there, and I, as a participant, not giving the call, not giving the talk, and I've been scared to press the button which shows my face live. Never mind putting my hand up to ask a question. So this is something, there's something deep within us, a deep psychological, I won't say problem, but a deep psychological thing that a lot of people have about this. So we have to do things like this. So it's quite scary, and we're learning quite a few things. I've discovered that action is vital, and I wanted this to be one of the main topics for this talk, action, taking action. There's a time for reflection, for sure, but action is so powerful. Action, it's just doing something as opposed to doing nothing. And I've come up with three reasons why I think action is so important. For one thing, as soon as you take action on something, you realize that all your fears and your imagined terrible consequences evaporate, and that actually nothing much happens in terms of negativity. And the second thing is, it's a great way to move forward. That sounds a bit obvious or even silly, but if you want to move forward from where you are, well, you've got to do something. You've got to take action. You've got to make a step in a direction. Generally, if you want things to change, it's a direction which you haven't gone in before. And this makes us nervous. But it's a great way to move forward, is to take action. And as soon as you've taken that action, I find that I forget how scary it was. And then the final point on this, which for me is almost the most important, it's that as soon as you take action, you start getting reactions. You start touching others and helping others. When you see someone do something, you think about what they're doing. And then you quite naturally compare it with what you're doing in your life. And then you start saying, it either gives you ideas, or you start saying, well, if they're doing that, I could do this on my subject, you know. And I'm also, one of my things is competition. I don't believe in it. I really don't believe in competition. I think there's enough for everyone. So when you see someone doing something well, especially if it's something similar to what you would like to do, the danger is that you feel jealous, you feel in competition with them. You think, well, if I do it, it's got to be better than them, or I'll look stupid in comparison to them. This is all based on a false premise that there's too little, there's not enough to go around. But I kind of counter that by saying to myself, I'm me, no one else is me, no one else can do things like me, plus I could never do it like that person because I'm not them. There will be people who like my message, and there will be people who like their message. Some people will like both, some people won't like either. And also, I often compare myself to, if I'm talking about ideas which I know are old ideas, like, you know, ideas about life and existence or whatever, or confidence or limiting beliefs, which I've read and heard people speak about 50 times before, I say to myself, well, it doesn't matter, because some people will be hearing about that from me for the first time. Not everyone has read all of those things or listened to those videos, and I will be right for some people who would never hear those messages in any other way. So that helps me. That gives me confidence to take action. And number two is, I don't take enough action. That's the second thing I've realized. Talking about how important action is, I realize I don't take enough. You know, I can talk about it, but do I do it? So me doing this right now is me taking action. And it's a bit scary, and I don't know what's going to happen, and I haven't planned perfectly, but I'm taking action. I've done it for what it's worth. And hopefully that'll make you realize that, well, you can do it as well. And I'm okay. I'm alive. The sky hasn't fallen. People aren't rolling over in laughter at how bad I am. So, you know, we invent so much, especially negative things. And I've got another story later which shows that exactly. The final thing is, I think my message isn't important enough. Well, I think I've talked a little bit about that. I think any message is important when it comes from the heart, and there will be some people, only you will be right for them if they can find you. And they will only find you if you put yourself out there. And number three is people are wonderful. In this group, we expose ourselves in all our vulnerability. We're nervous. We know it's not perfect. And the reactions we get are wonderful, so warm, so generous, so encouraging and helpful. Either they're 100% just positive, or they give us ideas on how to improve it, or both, but never negative. Okay, they told us not to be negative, but I think in life most people aren't negative. I think when you're presenting to an audience, I think we're worried because we think because we're standing up there, we're supposed to be better than our audience in some way. We're supposed to be more experienced, more confident, more relaxed, whatever. But I don't think that's what they're looking for. I don't think that's what the audience wants. In fact, if I'm in an audience watching someone, I don't want to see someone too polished or too slick, because then I do get an inferiority complex and I can't hear their message. I want to see someone like me. Not the same as me. I want someone who's got more information about what they're talking about than I do, but I want them to communicate it in an interesting way. I go to see topics which I know well if I haven't seen the speaker present before. I want to see the person. What they say is almost irrelevant. I just want to see someone being human and sharing. So if they make jokes, if they make mistakes and laugh about them, I like the confidence in people who make mistakes and are cool with that. That's a model I like. I just don't like the slick people. They don't do anything for me. So people don't want to see people who are better than them when they're on stage. They want to see people who are like them, as human as them, and then have some sort of human experience. That's my takeaways from the course that I'm doing so far. Any comments on that from Invisible Diane? We can't even see Diane's knees anymore. Or Visible George? Any comments on that? You're both on the course. How do you think it's going?
I think it's going good. I think you're spot on a lot of that. So I think, I think a lot of people wrestle with that, being seen, being heard, all those things. And I know Lisa talks about a different way, not just trying to be heard, but, present in a different way and get your message out there. So I think getting your message out there is, especially if you're doing something different, if you're, you're trying to kind of buck the system, and you kind of alluded to the school system, and I have issues with the school system myself. So when you're trying to do something against, kind of swimming upstream or paddling upstream, it gets difficult. So you get a lot of negativity then, or disbelievers. So you get people doubting you, and that makes you doubt yourself. So.
Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can bring Diane. Diane, are you in? Do you want to make a comment on that, or maybe it's not possible? Okay, Diane, we're not coming through. No, I'm afraid I can't see you and I can't hear you. So I will leave you and just finish up with George. Yeah. So George, just one last question on that. What do you feel when it's time to press the button to go live on Facebook? Because that was one of my biggest scary moments.
I agree. It definitely was a lot easier to get on Zoom and record a video. And I remember when she said, hey, we're going to do live, and you got to do live. And I was like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? But, yeah. I've on my own, for my company, I've been doing started a vlog, going online and talking, not every day, but I don't know. I've done it for about 8 days now, and not in a row. I've got about 8 of them going, and it's getting easier. I think just like doing a Zoom meeting to me is really easy, let alone, but going live definitely kind of gets you, definitely gets you up a little bit, and you wonder. And I think the biggest thing, just like this, I think the hardest thing for me was is thinking about like going live and the first few times no one's showing up. Mm-hmm. And I know the other day I had four or five people on my live. That was my eighth live presentation in about a 2 week period of time. And if somebody jumped on for a minute or two in a 10 or 15 minute live broadcast, I was lucky. And you kind of feel alone so without a lot of support. And, you know, I've got quite a few followers on my Facebook page, on my company Facebook page. And I thought I'd have more people jump on. They're starting to jump on. And I think that's the message is you got to start with one, you know, you got just like you're doing where you said, hey, I did this in French. No one was there, but I did it. Hey, you do it, you do it again. But it's hard. It is hard to kind of go.
Well, we'll see how it goes. Yeah. But it goes back to my action point. If you don't do anything, you won't get any reaction. You won't get any feedback. You won't get any experience and nothing will change. So.
Well, and you know, it's so ironic. You were talking about courses and doing things. And I just remember it's like you go to a course and it's like, you need to be childlike. You need to be playful and blah, blah, and all these kind of things and be inquisitive. And when you talk about action, I look at it like I always talk about how kids are in motion all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, kids don't, you know, a lot of them don't have filters. They just say what's happening, burst out, do things, are inquisitive, especially young ones, you know, between 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. I love, you know, obviously I deal with kids, but I kind of take that in my own world where there's nothing usually stopping a lot of those kids until some adult or somebody saying, behave, settle down, you know, and so action or motion to me is like, get that momentum rolling, get the motion, be in motion all the time. I like your message with that action, whatever you want to call it, but I'm trying to say the same thing is do something, make a commitment, get an idea and run with that idea, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying be in action all the time, like a crazy guy, because for example, there are times when sitting quietly, you decide to sit quietly and that can be really, really helpful, really nice. You're not exactly physically doing much, but that can be good for your brain as well. But a lot of people, they spend all their life doing very little. And that's what I think could be dangerous in terms of, well, us developing as humans, growing. All right, let me move on. Thanks, George. And I've got a couple more things. I'll also have, after the next item, where I share a couple of my creations from this week, I've got a story, short story, which relates exactly to what you were saying there, George, about kids and their movement and their filters and getting, you should do this, you shouldn't do this, slammed onto them. And it's, well, that even telling the story kind of shocks me. And I've thrown my son in there as well for good measure. So the next thing is a creative selection. Now, this is where I share what I thought. We've got about 20 minutes left, 25 minutes at the most, because we had a bit of a chat beforehand. So my creative selection, I genuinely want to share some of the things I've created this week, because I try to create every day. I look for vehicles, ways to do this. And one of the ways I have found is through photographs, because I've been photographing Paris and the streets of Paris for a long time. So I started a new project on the 1st of January. And I also write. I write poetry and I write what I call chronicles, my observations, which are a mixture of observations about life, funny things that happen, relationships. It could be a poetry, it could be about Paris, could be a curiosity, a pure historical or curiosity of Paris, or a mixture of all of them. So it's basically my thoughts, which are inspired by the photograph generally, but not always. So this is my week's output, you can see here, more or less. This photograph relates to something else I created this week. I created a new Facebook group because I've only got about 20 or 30. I mean, that's not enough for a normal guy. So I created another one because I have this disease. Every time I get a new idea, I take some pretty fast action on it. As soon as a new idea comes along, I drop the old one. So that's kind of a pain. But anyway, that's me. So I thought this photograph, which is a self-portrait, would be good for my new group, the header of my new group. But a bit of explanation about the self-portraits. I do one every 10 days. I started doing self-portraits way before selfies existed. And it's not, I always feel though, when I publish it, that I have to kind of justify it so that I don't just get lumped along with people who just take, you know, photographs of themselves all the time. So every single self-portrait of mine has to be unique and reasonably, hopefully original. But what it's really about is watching me get older on the outside as I change and maybe get more mature or less mature on the inside. And I could even call it something a bit more morbid, like the disintegration of this lump of humanity as he moves from this life form to another life form. So you see, I'm not trying to flatter myself. I'm literally looking at it as an exercise of another way of somehow dealing with life and making sense of it. So that's my excuse for these self-portraits. And I do a new one every 10 days. And I've incorporated them into my Paris photographs. So here, for example, this is a classic one of the Galerie Lafayette Dome. Now, my photographs are supposed to be halfway between grim reality and a sort of fantasy, abstract fantasy world. So I do play around with them. So the dome doesn't actually look quite like that. This is one my son would love. Now, this I was with him, actually. There's this ring road, this circular railway, which is not used anymore. And it goes around Paris. And this is part of it. There's sections of it, and it's great for anyone who loves mysteries and intrigue, because it goes through Paris, but it didn't cross any roads. It either went under them through tunnels, or it went over them on these bridges. But because it went through around Paris, it sort of sneaks in between buildings. It goes in tunnels or cuttings, which you get glimpses of from some of the Paris parks. They're really deep down. It's fascinating. And it's just now being reopened to the public in certain parts through turning parts of it into walks. This one here, you can see, shouldn't have people on it. It's closed. But you get these people, they somehow appear. And there's two folks there heading into a dark tunnel. So that's kind of cool. This is my son. And this is a picture of my son below one of my street art pieces, which I put up about 8 years ago. My son's 8, coming on 9. So my son was either minus some months or just a few months old. And this is pretty amazing when I look at this. The picture's pretty, you know, destroyed, but it's still up there. So for 8 years, people have been looking at this piece of street art. It's in my Infinity Squared series. And there's my boy underneath it in a kind of suitably miserable looking pose in a grimy photo. So I really like this photograph. This is another one I did. This is a restaurant entrance. Can you believe it? It's such a weird looking place in central Paris. But you find these things. Paris is just so full of these curiosities. This is a central Paris area, touristy area. And there's this kind of weird, dodgy, scary looking entrance to what is actually a restaurant with an oriental feel, and they smoke chicha or something like that, and smoking through water type of Eastern oriental pipes. That's pretty cool. This is me. This isn't me, but this is me not in France. So although Paris is my muse, I do take photographs occasionally abroad when I want to make a point. So it seems like they do have graffiti in other countries as well. And this is the last one I'll show you. Now, the Paris trains are famous for one thing in particular, and that's not working. They love going on strike. And so they're either late, on strike, or someone has jumped under one of them. I sometimes amuse myself by collecting excuses for train problems, and I'm up to about 25 now. It's pretty impressive. So there's this sort of marketing technique. If you can see this green blob here, it's a circle stuck on the platform. And it says, well, they've incorporated the letter of the line, which is C, into a thing which says, this is where Anthony watched his curling tournament. So they're trying to humanize this, the interminable wait people have for trains, by saying this is where someone, no doubt he was on his phone. Well, I mean, they've invented it. So I get sort of half cynical, but I do appreciate to an extent the fact that they're trying to humanize things. Although I must admit, what I don't like is when there is a strike, okay, the drivers don't turn up, but suddenly there's like 10 or 20 official people in red jackets. And on the back of the jacket, it says in the nice cheery letters, we are here to help you. And all they can help you with, if you dare to go up to them, because they kind of huddle together in groups, is to confirm that, yes, indeed, there are no trains. So anyway, you know, I look for humour in everyday things, and it isn't hard to find it, to be honest. So that's my creative output from this week. Although, let me just tell you one more thing. As I said, I took this image of me and I thought, wow, this would be great for a new group that I've got. And my new group is, it's a bit of a, well, some people will like it, some people won't. But anyway, that's life. It's called Wannabe Self-Help Guru Recovery Forum. So I invent things and sometimes I drop them the next week, depending on the reaction I get. But I invent them first. Then I get the reaction, then I decide what to do. So that's kind of my philosophy. So I got a bit sick of these people who, they do a, you know, 1.5 courses on self-development, and they suddenly think that they want to be a self-development guru themselves. And you know what, to be honest, I'm kind of one of those. So I'm only laughing at myself, folks, you know, as much as anybody else. But what disappoints me in self-help, self-development circles is, so few people actually laugh about life. They're so serious. They're so spiritual, so serious, so whatever, but they're not having, you know, they're not finding life so funny. And fun is one of the best parts of life, I think. So this is a kind of tongue-in-cheek group. And it sounds like it's insulting self-help people, but it isn't. It's 50% profound and 50% having fun, but I think the two should go together. So I created this group. I've probably got about 2 members at the moment, which is about the same as on this webinar. Maybe I'll have 3 by the end, and we'll see how it goes. But it's certainly not for everyone. But you can't do something that pleases everyone. It's not possible. So don't try. You know, this has always been my philosophy. Do something strongly. Some people will really like it, and other people will really not like it. But if you do something that is vaguely pleasant for most people, it really won't touch anybody very deeply. So that's kind of my little philosophy on that. Right, let me come back to the webinar. I've got time for one more story. Let me just say, I'm just going to talk to my participants. So that was my creative week. Have you created anything interesting this week, George?
Oh, I don't know if I created anything interesting. I definitely, nothing like that, nothing. And to back up, I don't know if you're seeing the comments, because I made a comment, because I've got 2 screens going, and I shut my laptop down and was using my monitor. And I saw it over here, and I thought I could get the pictures up on my big screen. When I shut it down, all I saw was you talking in both of my deals, and I tried to send you a message saying, hey, I don't see the output of the photo. So I saw them at first, but they were on my laptop deal, which they were beautiful and cool. But then I didn't see them earlier, so I don't know if it'll be on the recording or not. I don't know what'll be shown on your screen, because what we're seeing was you in the little box over here, and you on my main screen, just FYI. So.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So,
anyway,
yeah. So just tell me now, as I share what you can see, and that'll be helpful for me.
Absolutely.
1 second. I'm just trying to share. Here we go. So share the screen. Right. Tell me what you can see here.
I see your Facebook page.
Okay. The Wannabe Self-Help Guru.
Yep. I got that.
Can you now see my photographs?
I can now. Okay. Absolutely. I can now.
I don't know what happened then.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's because I shut my, because I wanted to get it up like this so I could see him better. So, and I thought it would just pop up there, and all it did was keep you up there. Sorry.
So that's probably called trying to be too clever, George.
Yeah, probably is. So.
Okay. All right. Well, never mind. You tried.
No, I think you're it's neat that you're being creative. So I don't know if I can lay claim to doing something like that.
Yeah. Well, just as an aside, the guy that I met in the hostel where I stayed in between my friendship breaking down and then getting warmed up again, the guy that I met in the hostel, he was spending days. No, he's an American and he's going around the world. And he'd just done a sort of pilgrimage walk, although he's not particularly there for that. He thought it'd be a cool thing to do. He did this pilgrimage thing to San Compes, oh my God. Anyway, a religious, you know, walk in Spain or something. Camino Saint, some saint. And he started drawing. And I said to him, he sent me a personal message saying, oh, I just started drawing, you know, I'm getting back into doing my stuff. And I said, well, don't tell me, share it on your Facebook page, you know, so your friends and your family can see it. And he sent me back another personal message saying, no, because I get too many negative comments when I do that, or snidey, you know, sly comments, which is a shame, isn't it? So anyway.
Yeah, but I think you're right as far as going from one extreme to the other. You gotta, you know, I know that we deal with a lot of that, and we try to stay in the middle road, and it doesn't attract. And I know a lot of marketers look at it that you pick a side, pick one way or the other. But if you stay in the middle, you'll never attract people to your message. You've got to have some polarity to it to drive people in, because they don't want to hear it. The middle. You can bring people eventually in from the middle, but you have to go to that extreme.
So. Right. Or nobody will hear you.
Okay. Yeah. Nobody pays attention to you. So.
All right. Let me finish off with my last thing. And my last thing is, am I still sharing screen? No. So sharing screen, this, my last thing is going to be, I probably don't need to share the screen, but it kind of reassures me. And it's this. Quirks and curiosities, because we've kind of had the chat. This question and answers will come in later as the webinar develops and I get more people. So quirks and curiosities. Well, I was on, I'm coming back now, there we are. So I was on chatting with a new friend on Messenger, as it happens, and we were sharing music. We discovered that we greatly enjoy music. So we were doing this kind of joust, you know, I would send her a piece of music and she was, oh, that's amazing, but listen to this. And she would send me one back and I said, well, that's pretty good, but listen to this. So we were having fun. And at some point I sent her a song from the 80s that she hadn't heard for ages. And she was so inspired. She's someone who makes music herself. She mixes it. So she takes samples and she mixes it. Really cool. And I listened to some of her stuff. It's great. And also she does this thing. She's got an app on her phone. Apparently it's a karaoke app. So it gives you the background music, gives you the words, and you sing along and you record it. So now that I know that that exists, I'm still not going to do that, you know. You wouldn't hear me singing live, however much you paid me. But anyway, unless I was in front of a group of 5-year-olds, then I might do it. So she said, you know what, I'm going to do a song. I'm going to do that song that you sent me and I'm going to send it to you. So she was going to record it, karaoke, sing it and send it to me. So I said, great. And she said, just wait a second. I said, no, I'm going to bed. So I went to bed and I woke up. And sure enough, the next day, there was a link to her recording, her karaoke recording of this old song from the 80s. I clicked the link and I listened to her. And it was amazing. It was fantastic. Her voice was wonderful. She respected the original, but she put her own heart and soul into it, you would say. You know, the intonation, the timbre of her voice, it was really super. She's not a professional, but I mean, I don't equate being good at something with being professional or being paid at it. For example, I mean, I know a lot of photographers, for example, who are professionals, and their work doesn't inspire me in the slightest. They've got their style, they've stuck to it. In some cases, they're stuck with it. It's like an artist. I know some artists, they've become famous for a style, and they get stuck. All people want to buy from them is their recognizable style, so they can't sort of move out of that groove. Anyway, so she sent me this thing, this link. I loved it. But get this, the message she sent it to me in, there were two lines plus the link. And the message, these two lines said, more or less exactly, this is really bad because I'm really crap. And there's the link. So in the space of two lines, she said twice that it was bad. So she was really bad. No, this was really bad because she was really bad. Okay. Wow. Okay, she's an adult. She's a mum, I think. So, you know, she's an adult. This is how she presents her creations for others to appreciate. Now, I thought about this. I thought, what about my son? My son, he's 8, coming on 9. He's obsessed with trains. We go to Paris, not to go to Paris, to visit something in Paris, but to ride on the trains. So he knows the Paris train system inside out. He knows all the changes. He knows the stations that have strange endings where the trains have to do a funny switch over. He knows the stations with the platforms that are not at the same plate. It's amazing. He goes home and he starts playing on the ground with stuff, you know, bits of wood, empty toilet paper rolls, anything really that comes to hand. And he creates things. And he created, the other day, he created a train system. He created, but not just any train system. It was the Paris train system. Or if it's not the Paris train system, it's a specific line, but not just a line with all the correct changes, the right terminus, the right different platforms. It's perfect. Now, can you imagine when he wants to tell me or his mother or anyone about this? Guess what he says. I'll give you two choices. Does he say, A, hey, Dad, look at this. What do you think? Look what I've made. And I say, oh, it's the Paris train system. And he said, yeah, but which one? Oh, is it line 3? He said, yeah, but which bit? Oh, is it that station where the lines do that funny crossover thing? He says, yeah. And I say, fantastic. Amazing. Well done. So that's the first option. Or do you think he says, Dad, look, this is really bad because I'm a really terrible train designer, but look what I did. So does he say, look at this? What do you think? Isn't it great? Or does he say, this is really bad because I'm really terrible, but that's what I did? So of course the kid, he does the first one. It doesn't even cross his mind that it could be judged. There's no value to it. He created it. He wanted to share his creation. So what happens between a kid creating something spontaneously with enthusiasm and just wanting to share it and an adult who has spontaneously created something and wants to share it, but wraps it in so much negativity? Remember, this is really bad because I'm terrible, but here it is. What happens? What happens between the kid who just wants to share something with excitement and enthusiasm, not even thinking it will be judged? That's not part of their universe yet, until the school system gets them. And the adult who presents something as though, I'm going to say, yeah, well, it's okay, but I can only give it a 3 out of 10. You know, I mean, this is bull. This is utter bull. What happens? And we haven't got time to go into it, but I mean, what happens is we start to not have a wonderful positive reaction. We start to get negative reactions. We start to get people giving it grades out of 10 or 20. You know, just to finish on this, in France, It's amazing. They have a system where you can get minus, you can get less than zero. So for example, you have a spelling test. You start with 20 potential points, okay? You make a mistake, a spelling mistake, boom, you're at 19. You make two spelling mistakes, 18. You make 10, you're at 10. You make 20 spelling mistakes in a text, you're at zero. But if you make 25 spelling mistakes, you're at minus five. They give you a minus five. You're worse than crap. So what does this do? You know, what does this do to a kid? I'm not saying that all of French education is like that. There are amazing teachers in French education. But I still hear stories about, you know, getting negative marks. Can you imagine? You're there to learn. Learning is supposed to be a positive, fun, exciting experience. We're supposed to be learning machines. And we can be told that we're not only bad, we're worse than bad. We're minus. Anyway, that's my story. So I bawled out my friend. I said, you know, what are you talking? What is this crap? Don't tell me it's crap before I've even heard it. It's not crap. So that's my story. That's my, that shocked me, actually. That shocked me. You know, twice in two lines. She said it was bad because she's bad. And here's my creation. And it was wonderful. So, folks, don't do this. Don't tell people anything about what you've created. Just say, look what I've done, or listen to what I've done, or taste what I've made. That's it. Don't. You know, we're doing this out of fear of getting criticized. But the other flip side of the coin is, so don't, just don't tell people anything other than I did this, look. And the flip side is, don't judge other people. Don't, you know, just when someone offers you something, just say thank you. Just say, it's great. Why not? What have you got to lose? Even if you don't think it's great, that doesn't matter. It is great. It's great because they did it. She offered this to me. I had a return. I offered her a song. Okay, sending someone a link, it's not that big a deal. I offered someone a song, but it was a gift because music is important to me. I gave her this gift. She gave me a gift back, which was even more of a beautiful gift. She created her own version of this song. That's marvelous. And that's where you stop. That's it. Two human beings had an exchange and we both felt better for it. Except I almost didn't feel better for it because I felt that it's like she broke my present before giving it to me. When she said, this is really bad because I'm no good. Here it is. She broke it. She destroyed my pleasure, the pure pleasure I would have got by breaking the present before giving it to me. And that's a terrible thing. So it's like when someone gives you a present, they say, look, it's nothing. You know, this is nothing, but here it is. Don't say this is nothing. Just say, here's the present. But where society has made us do this. Anyway, I'll stop there. That's the end on a kind of heavy note, but, you know, I intend for these things to be half fun, half light and half heavy, because that's what life is like. And I hope it's been an interesting experience for you. They're going to be taking place most weeks. And so what do you think, George?
I think it was nice. It was very good. Yeah. And I think your last comments, I think people live it out all the time with being afraid to share whatever they're doing. It's definitely comes back to, you know, we say we're not in competition, but everybody's in competition. The world creates competition. School systems create competition. Most school systems train and most companies train for repetition and emotional involvement. So how do you get away from it? And so it's that emotion, you know, it's that you can do something, but then the emotional side of it is so deep that you're so afraid of the scars of something that you were embarrassed about in front of your peers in an environment that's supposed to be a friendly place. You don't create a safe space to fail, basically. You know, there's a lot of truth in failing fast and learning from the mistakes. You know, if you learn from your mistakes.
And the more you see this happening, the more the more you see it, the more aware. Like this guy, you know, this guy from the hostel. He doesn't want to share his drawings. He's excited. He's retired. He's trying to get new interest. He doesn't want to share his drawings because he thinks he'll be ridiculed by his own friends and family. That's a sorry state of affairs.
But it's so true for so many people. I mean, it's absolutely true for so many people. And you feel isolated, you feel alone. I think that's one thing, good thing about the tribe that is involved with Speak and Inspire is that you find out there's an awful lot of people. And that's why some of the videos, when people get vulnerable, that they expose the same things you're thinking about. Or, you know, that's true when you're doing a self-improvement thing. You start seeing things in yourself, in others, you know, the mirror thing. You start not just a mirror exercise, I mean, literally, you see weaknesses in other people that are in yourself all the time. You just don't realize it. So
I think there's also, just to finish up, there's a danger that because we're surrounded by people who are working on themselves to an extent, people doing this course, they've often done other stuff. We forget that there's a lot of people who aren't, and they really are vulnerable, and they really don't realize that, well, this guy, he doesn't want to share his new activity because he thinks he'll be laughed at by his own people, which is why I go over the top in a kind of not over the top way. But I make a point to appreciate people's efforts with no judgment whatsoever, because so many people, they don't have that.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
you know, I mean, I don't want to be someone who moans about how terrible life is, but it's difficult to see what you can do. But I think you can just, you know, just us, you with your kids or whoever, me with my kids or whoever I come across, just to give them, maybe for once in their life, someone who says, so what have you done recently? They'll probably say, yeah, well, it's not very good. You know, it's a bit crap. Shut up. Just tell me what you did. They show you a drawing and you say, it's great. That's it, you know. So that's, so there you go.
That's it.
Right. So thanks for being my audience, George.
No problem. I appreciate it. I appreciate you doing it. So thanks for letting me participate.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your comments and your interaction, even if I forced it on you. If you're watching this and you weren't part of it, well, be part of it next time. You can see what it's like. It's hopefully not intimidating and friendly. And we'll cover a group of new topics each week along the lines of what you saw today. You could even suggest a topic, but I generally have quite a few in mind, and hope to see you on another call. So bye for now, everyone. And this is part of the universe of infinity coaching, which I'm developing for my coaching or my accompanying activities. So feel free to have a look at my site, which is infinitycoaching.biz. And there's the Facebook pages, and any way you want to be in touch, it'll be a pleasure for me. So see you soon. That's all for now. Have nice weekends. Cheers. Over and out. Mm-hmm.